This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And today I have a gentleman here who has many hats. He has many businesses. And he is a local native here to Winona, Minnesota. Ty Sticks is my guest today. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me, man.
And you have requested, you said, well, actually you said... Yeah, anything, any cheap beer.
Any cheap beer.
So I've had a lot of Busch Light lately.
Okay.
So I said, you know what, let's switch up to Bud Light because you said that was one of them too. So we're going to crack some Bud Lights.
Yeah, and, let's go.
You know, as the spring's coming, these are good beers to always have.
Yeah, they're 99% water. So you're getting your H2O fill right there. I'll tell you that for free.
Damn right. And you know what? Actually, after our baby shower this past weekend, everyone pretty much drank me out of house and home. So
hey, it's all it should be.
I had to restock anyway, so...
You ain't going to have room in that fridge here in a few months. It's going to be all formula and breast milk.
I can't wait to have some chilled breast milk.
As a dad, you're going to learn real early on breast milk is gold and it's not easy to come by. So take care of mama and keep her happy.
You know, that's the one thing I gotta say. Every time I see you, you always say, hey, make sure you go home and take care of mama.
Number one.
I gotta appreciate that because I said it to her and she goes, God, that guy sounds like a nice guy.
And I'm like, yeah, sounds like a con man. No.
I think she's only met you the one time at the Halloween party.
Yeah, I believe so. I met her a couple times at the house. I did a little work for you out there, and I think
that's right.
Had a run in with her. She seemed pretty kind.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good relationship health. Just, you know, keeping her safe, happy, healthy, you know.
That's right. And how many kids do you have now?
I have two. Two boys.
Two boys, and I got a girl coming.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you got a lot to worry about.
So, here's what one guy said to me. He goes, you know, having a girl is going to be tougher. And the reason why is because instead of worrying about one penis, you have to worry about thousands of penises.
All the penises.
All the penises. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Back when you were young, you fell asleep thinking about your own penis. Not anymore.
Now I'm going to be worried about her. But the one thing I was thinking about, and this is what I think is cool, like, we thought we were gonna have a boy, and I've said this on the podcast before, because she was having, you know, she went by those old wives' tales of, yep. Oh, well, I think I'm gonna have this because of this reason and all that. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, maybe. And I go, that's great. So we had all these boys' names picked
up.
All of a sudden, it's a girl. And I'm like, you know what? This brings out all these new, cool challenges for me. And I'm like, wow. Maybe she's going to be a singer. Maybe she's going to be an actress. Maybe if she's into sports, fantastic. I will love sports too.
As long as she's not a Democrat, who cares?
Perfect.
Yeah. Sneak that in there.
The one thing is, though, she will be a girl. Yeah. Come from the womb, she's a girl.
She'll be her own person, though. You know what I mean? That's what you have to instill with my kids too. Do whatever you want.
Sure.
Explore a little bit. Just be polite and caring. Don't be a dick.
That's right.
So many kids out there have no fucking clue what's going on around them. They're the kids in Walmart that are walking into carts with a snotty nose. Like, get your chin up, your shoulders back, be proud of who you are, the house you came from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing I always tell kids, and I think I saw this quote from The Rock. It said it costs $0 to be kind to somebody.
Correct.
You don't have to be a jerk, and you don't have to do all this kind of stuff. Just be kind. It costs no effort other than to maybe sometimes you're having a bad day, and then you just gotta like, put that away and be like, hey, nice to see you. That's all. And smile.
100%.
You know, the one thing I always learned when I was younger, my parents always made me write out thank you cards to everyone that gave me a gift for birthdays, Christmas, whatever it was.
Same.
And so I always remember that. So we're going to instill that in our kids and stuff of that nature. I mean, kid for now, hopefully yeah. too. So how old are your boys then?
Blake's 11. He goes to Cotter, and Zach just turned a year old, and he goes to Cotter at the new daycare there.
Okay, so they got a big split.
Yeah, yeah, we did that by design. My wife's a career woman,
sure.
PhD. She runs a local clinic here. And it was really important to her to finish her education. We wanted to get a kid and get that going because we got married. You know, we had goals too. But career goals, you got to mix your goals. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a lot like when you have leftovers in the fridge. If you mix them, you can make a great casserole. And that's what we had to do. We had to mix career goals, aspirations. And there's some things you just can't do in life right now. Yep. Maybe later they come, they're a little more joyful, you know. So for us, we got her career goals checked. I got a few career goals, you know, a few personal things like building your house, stuff like that. Not stuff you have to do to have a baby.
Right.
Stuff we wanted to do to have our second baby.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of people get lost and like, well, I'm too broke to have a kid or I work too many hours. No, you're not. You got too many excuses. Fuck your excuses. Like,
all
right. If you got what it takes to be a good parent, what the fuck are you waiting for?
Sure.
You know what I mean? If you're good at racing cars, go race cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't wait to do something you're good at. Now, if you're a bag of shit, don't have kids. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. Like, there's a lot of bags of shit out there with four kids hanging yeah. out of the back of the SUV unseatbelted.
That's all right? True, yeah.
For those people, I recommend that you never have babies. But there's a lot of people out there, have a couple kids. Have two, three. Like,
yep.
If you can have two, three, why can't you have four or five?
Sure.
Keep doing good.
Yep.
You're making good humans. You know what I mean? So.
Is two where you're maxing out at then?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'm 42. So.
Okay. Well, you know, that's the thing is my wife and I, we were kind of on the same path of two was really all we ever wanted. And granted, we're going to be older parents. I'm 37. And so is she.
Yep.
So if we have a second one, it'll have to be sooner than later just because of the whole age thing. So that was where we want to max out is at two, but we want to see how the first one goes. We want to take
her on a
vacation. And then we're thinking once the cruise is over,
okay,
go for one more, hoping that it'll be a boy. So we have both
yep.
ends of the spectrum, but we don't really care as long as they're healthy.
Yeah. Just don't hope. Just send it. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's right.
Are you thinking Irish twins?
What's that mean?
Irish twins, it's where you have two within a year. So 3 months after, you'll drop the hammer and...
Nope, and here's why.
Because you like sleep and money?
No, it's because of we want to go on a cruise.
Okay.
And so we couldn't go on a cruise this March because the policy on Royal Caribbean, at least, and it's probably all the companies, is if you're less than 5 months pregnant, you
correct.
Can go. And if you're more, you can't. And it's probably just because yep. their facilities can't handle a childbirth. And you can't take a baby on that's less than 6 months old. So the plan is next year around March-ish area,
okay.
we'll go again because she'll be about 9 months old. And then we can try. And she would like to also have some drinks on the cruise.
Yeah,
well.
And we learned the same thing, right? So when my wife was pregnant, we were going to take a cruise and we actually had to cancel it. We had it booked with a bunch of families from town. Because if your baby's born in that country or in those waters, it's a citizen of that country.
Oh, joy.
Yeah. So you thought kids were expensive before the international legal battle, you know? So, yeah, and that's something to where, again, take care of mama.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The stress, the altitude of the planes, don't need it. You know what I mean? What you need is a healthy mama, healthy baby. So.
Well, we just had our baby shower, and she's got swimsuits now, so she's ready for the cruise. And
all right.
She's ready for the river as well. So that's great.
Bless her heart. Me too.
So do you mind sharing on any of the goals that your wife had between those? Because it was about 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you mind sharing any of those goals with
well, yeah.
she had?
So
and then you too?
She's a college woman, so she got her LPN, her RN, and then like her bachelor's, her master's, her PhD. And that's time consuming, takes up a lot of her time. In the meantime, you know, she's going to school full time and she's working full time using the degree she has at the time. So her goals were to get all of her degrees, find, I don't want to say a career job, but what many would think is a career job. My wife's a very hungry individual, career motivated. But she landed that career job. She had that PhD. And I was like, all right. I was like, you told me we had to wait. It's time, you know? So... For me, I was biting at the bit, right?
Sure.
I'm right now kind of guy. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Like, here, I got the money here. I got a ticket here. You know, I got a plate. Feed me. And that's how I approached it. But I had to respect her.
Yeah.
Check some of her boxes. Okay, so we got her boxes checked. My boxes, I can fill with Cheetos and I'm happy. You know what I mean? my boxes, I can put a quart of 10W30 or some diesel in them. We're happy there.
Sure.
But, you know, just making sure that we had a healthy balance there. And then we went into it and we're like, yep, okay, I think it's time for baby number two. Within like a month, we were pregnant. So it went smooth. boy just like we wanted. And yeah, I mean.
So two boys was what you wanted. Though.
That was what we wanted. And okay. Zach, the youngest boy, he's a manimal. He's a manimal. We got like a shark vacuum. He goes. He's a year old now. He'll go over to the shark vacuum, sit on it, hit the button, and he rides it around. I mean, it's awesome. It's like a vacuum rodeo.
Sure. Was it like one of those iRobots?
Robots, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So we call him the Zacuum.
Zacuum. That's great.
Yeah, it's great. So I posted a video on our Instagram, the Northland Breaks Instagram, of him riding it around. And it's a pretty big hit. Yeah, he's adorable. He travels well. He's been on a few trips now. I think we've flown him 4 or 5 times in the first year.
Okay. That's a great question I have for you now that you said that. What's the key to flying a young child under one? What's the key? Is there a key to it?
The key is patience and working together.
Okay.
So the first time when we flew with our son Blake, the plane didn't have a changing table, and they looked at us like, that's your problem. And I was like, how do planes not have changing tables? Like, that's what weird. Fucking year is it? They still got ashtrays, but you don't have a changing table? Yeah. You know what I mean? So the last kid here was Zach. We've kind of found that the times have kind of come to where there's changing tables and planes and stuff like that. But the key is, you know, prepare for a nap when you get on the plane. Like, make sure the baby's tired. Try to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make sure they're tired. Make sure they're fed. As soon as you get them on the plane, or make sure they're a little hungry. So you get them on the plane and you're taking off. If they are awake or they wake up, you give them that bobble to pop their ears. You know what I mean? Because just like your ears pop, they don't know how to yawn or swallow or burp to get those ears to pop, right?
So what do you do?
You give them a bobble.
What's a baba?
A bottle.
Oh, a bottle.
A baba. Okay. Come on, Dad.
I'm not there yet.
You
got to
learn the dad
away.
Lingo, all right?
Okay, a baba.
Okay, so you get that bottle ready, and you know the baby wakes up. It's in distress. Its ears are going.
Yep.
Give that bottle.
Sure.
Throw it on Mama's tit, whatever she feels comfortable with on the plane. But you got to get them swallowing to pop those ears.
Yep.
Because as we're chewing gum and yawning, whatever we got to do to pop our ears, they don't know that.
Right.
So it's your job to implement that and make sure it works.
Well, that was great advice, because my wife's probably listening to this right now.
Good.
And so she's going to take that into consideration, most likely.
Yeah.
So wear them out, give them a baba when you're about to take off, yep. or when you are taking off, going up through the altitudes.
Yeah, and if you know your baby, it naps at 9:45.
Yep.
It would be advantageous to your family to book a flight at 9:30, right?
Sure.
Because now you're checked in. The baby's awake. You strolled him in. All right, baby's starting to fall asleep on mom or dad. Let's board the plane quietly. Let's get our stuff on there. Baby's sleeping for the takeoff. They wake up. Bang, hit him with that baba.
Sure. When you get a plane ticket, do you have to get one for the baby that
goes? It's a lap child.
It's a lap child.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We've so for the first two flights with Zach, we were pretty fortunate. We just flew out of Goodview, private jet.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, PJ'd out. So that way it was good because the first time he did fly, he was puking his guts out.
That's a good
so
idea.
So I just grabbed the ice bag like for the ice fridge in the jet, and I was like, Lindsay was holding him, and he filled the bag.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was sad. That was, I think, our trip to Philly. We were going out there for the Philadelphia card show. We had a few of the employees with us.
Oh, yeah. That was just not that long.
Yeah, I think Webb, Diddy, and them.
Webb was there, yeah.
I think there might have been one more. I don't recall. But, no, that was... That was a good experience. I mean, for everybody, for them to see like what it takes to be a dad,
mm-hmm,
right?
And yep.
And the patience you have to have, the problems you encounter, and it's not a big deal. Yeah. Babies puke, people puke.
Yeah.
It's okay, clean it up. It's nobody's fault, you know? If someone, you know, there's no one looking at your eyeball either, but if you are looking at my baby because you shit or puke, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right.
Like you never shit or puke to yourself. You know what I mean? And a lot of people, like you're in an airport or you're in a resort, a lot of people smile and they have that empathy. They remember being there. They remember being there as parents, grandparents. And some people think that they're above that or they're too good.
Yeah.
Those people can eat, kick rocks.
Kick
you know what
rock,
I mean? We're all trying
rocks.
To raise a great human here.
Right, yeah. And you know, that. How long does that stage really last for?
I would say like Zach is like a year now, just over a year. And
yep.
he's starting to like go into that big boy phase where he's kind of grown out of that. Like you got to support his head. I mean, since like 8 months, Zach's been looking around like headbutting shit, kind of adventurous.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about that. I feel like he's physically mature for his age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like he's kind of outgrown a lot of that stuff. So I would say give yourself like that 9 month window, 8 month window.
So it's really not that long.
No, man, time flies.
Yeah, I know it does.
Time flies when you don't sleep and, you know, you're feeding a baby.
When you're exhausted, right?
Right. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. I mean, just be caring, loving, make sure the baby's happy, mama's happy. No one gives a fuck about you. You might have a couple of guys down here that'll say, hey, how you doing? I'll be one of those guys, right?
Perfect.
No one fucking gives a shit.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one gives a shit. You're the guy.
I have a couple buddies outside of you that always ask me how are things going, and then let me know what I can help you with since they've gone through it.
For sure. So, you have to, because one thing you're going to see is like, they're going to be, all these people are going to want to come see the baby at the hospital.
Yeah.
And it's going to be about mom and the baby as it should be. But you're scared too.
Sure.
I mean, the first time I drove home with Blake, I was white knuckling it. Like, like I set the cruise in the Cadillac at like 55. I'm like, oh my God, is this too fast? I'm checking my mirrors.
Sure.
You know, typically I'm driving with my knee eating a sandwich. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was like, that's when it hit me like, holy shit. Parenting strikes something in you.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to go out two nights a week for pool or volleyball.
Sure.
Because I might miss something.
Yep.
Do I need to do things to check my boxes? Yeah, I do. But if I can't bring him, fuck your box.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I brought Blake everywhere. But I said, Blake's like a cell phone. Since the time he was a baby, I brought Blake everywhere. You know, riding around in the front seat of a dirty work truck with rebar on top.
Yeah.
There's Blake. Child seat in the back, chewing on grapes from Quick Trip, hauling a Bobcat. There's Blake. You know, did he hear a lot of stuff coming through dad's Bluetooth radio when we're talking to the guys on the site or we're talking to the general? Yeah. Did he hear a lot? Yeah. But none of it's bad. It's real life.
Right.
Expose your kids to real life, honesty. You know what I mean? And that's one thing, like with Blake, he'll ask me, Dad, how's so-and-so his employee? Dad, who's your best employee? Because he hears all the talk, right?
Sure.
Whether it's coming from my wife checking in, whether it's coming from that employee calling in, whether it's from a contractor saying, hey, what the fuck is this guy doing in the Bobcat right now? He's heard all that. He's a seasoned vet.
Sure.
and that stuff that's sitting at daycare and going to preschool just isn't going to teach your kid. Now, does everybody have that luxury? No. But I highly recommend if you can bring your kids to work, bring them to work. Sure. It's only going to make them better when school time comes because they see what it's grinding like. You bring the crayons and the coloring books, set them down. You bring the Lightning McQueen car, put it in the office. You know, I remember during COVID, I was doing a huge job here in Winona, an apartment, underground parking, elevator shaft, all that in it. And there was no daycare because it was COVID.
Sure.
Well, I had eight guys to employ that counted on me every week. And I had a big job where I was hired to do this. This is a $200,000 job in Winona. That's a big job for this community, especially yeah. for a residential or a rental. You know what I mean? So I had an obligation to fulfill that. And so what I did at the time, I had a crew cab Duramax. It was like 2020. I built a fort in it. We hung blankets from the holy shit handles. It had a TV in it, so we'd bring DVDs. He'd watch DVDs in it. You know, we'd pack our lunches. We had our snack. We had our lunch. And that was his fort. He reclined the seats, and he built a fort in it. And I couldn't have been happier. You know, I parked the truck right where I could see him. If he needed something, he honked the horn. You know what I mean?
Great.
It was great. Yeah. It just popped up on my phone today, all these pictures of him and I on the tailgate.
That's only 5 years ago, too.
Dude, that's priceless.
Yeah.
I mean,
he built a fort.
Every day we were at work, 7 o'clock, the kid would have a fort built in there. He'd bring different blankies, different toys. Some days he'd bring the dog. You know, at the time, Trump, our pit bull he's 8 now, so he was a younger dog. He was 2 or 3. He'd hang out in that truck all day eating food with the kid.
Sure.
So you can't go wrong, right?
No.
Were some days long for him, some days that I feel like I maybe needed to do more for him. Yeah, but I was checking in on him every 15, 20 minutes, you know? Work and come back, wave to him. He'd honk. He'd need something. You know, I remember giving him piggyback rides through the mud so he could go take a poop in the porta shitter, you know?
Sure. You gotta learn how to do that sometime.
Yeah. I mean, one day he had to throw his underwear away. No, that's job site shit you can't teach anyway else. You know what I mean? When you're throwing your underwear away in a porta shitter, now you're a man. That's manhood right there.
How old was he?
I would say he was probably like 6.
Oh, he's a man at 6.
Yeah, he's a man at 6, throwing his underwear away.
Oh, that's great.
Yep, sweating in the porta shitter like the rest of us.
You ever see those memes where it's like Hulk Hogan just sweating? It's just when the job site's 100 degrees and you got to take a shit. It's
100%. Just, yeah daddy, hilarious. Will you carry me? Yep, get on my back.
Well, you know, that brings me up to another thing is you have many different you have many different entrepreneurial things that you do.
Yeah.
How many have you had, first of all? Because I know of a few. Which ones have you, I mean, Concrete?
Concrete.
I know Northland Breaks.
Northland Breaks.
Didn't you have pizzas at one time?
We started High and Low Pizzas. I partnered with a real good friend to do that.
Okay.
That's still going. We still offer that. We were in like 27 stores, grocery stores, and then we hired a salesman to overtake what I was doing, and it's really hard to walk into a bar that sells Jack's pizzas and sell them a premium pizza.
Sure.
But it's still going. We're not in as many locations. It was a really hard sale that unless it's your brand, your name, you're not going to fight like that. So no matter what salary you threw at him, it didn't really bite. Okay. So the pizza was an adventure. It's still going, but it's kind of a back burner thing right now.
So, okay. And then you, I know, I think, aren't you an ordained minister too?
Yeah, ordained minister. So I've done like 20 weddings for my friends.
What else do you do other than those?
Some rental properties. We got a,
rentals.
We got some rentals. I mean, yeah, I'll come to your house and clean up your dog shit for the right price.
I guess. Yeah, you know what I suppose you will, right? So that's five things you just mentioned right there.
Yeah.
Are those the five that you're in still currently?
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, like the pizza thing is kind of, we got the clutch push in on it, right? Push a clutch in on that. We got pizzas at like the aquatic center.
Okay.
So they sell them there and a few businesses around town and stuff like that, a few bars.
So that was the first way I heard of your name when I was, I would say when I was in college, and then I was at the High and Low and I could actually have a drink, and then it said Sticks Pizza, and I was like,
High and Low Pizza.
It was High and Low. I thought it said Sticks on it.
No, High and Low Pizza.
I'm almost certain it said Sticks on it at some point.
So probably just people talking. So
could have been.
My friend Ron started the company, and he kind of knew my entrepreneurial drive, and he was like, hey, do you want to come on and take this on and see what you can do with it? And I was like, fuck yeah, I do. So, do you want me to go to bars all day, seeing if I can sell them something? Sure. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Now, do you have a background, like a degree in anything?
No, I don't. Actually, I have a GED.
Okay.
So, and you know, that I want that to inspire people, not people to look at like, oh, why? Well, I transferred, like I told you before the podcast, I did 2 years at the senior high and I did 2 years in Whitehall.
Okay.
Transferring from Wisconsin back to Winona, I was short credits. It was like a credit and a half. So they're like, yeah, you simply do summer school and you're good to go. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. No big deal. Well, I was kind of mad about it, but
sure.
That shit happens. You got to roll with it. Fighting, kicking, and screaming don't do anybody good.
No.
But then right after high school, I had a tragedy in the family. My mom was killed on a Harley, and I was like, I'm not going to go to summer school and play the sympathy game. I don't need that bullshit. I'm just going to sign up, take the GED test, and move on. And I decided to go that route. Looking back, I could have did things different, but the way I've done them has worked out for me because it kind of that chip on your shoulder that some young guys have. My chip turned into like a fucking pie. Right? Because I had something to prove to everybody. You know, I may not have had doubters, but I created doubters to drive me, to fuel me, you know, to go to work a little earlier and stay a little later, work on the weekends, you know? And that's one thing when you're in a relationship as a young guy, she's always like, when are you coming home? What do you got to work? Like, when I'm done being successful, I'll come home. When I'm too tired to drive or operate machinery, I'll come home. You know what I mean? When I'm too depressed to too depressed to lift my head anymore, I'll come home. I'll recharge then, and then I'm going to go back out. I use that as a motivational tool. So it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter where you go to school. If you have the drive, you have it in you. Did I have to learn a lot from people around me? Yes. But that just takes finding people you trust that are smarter than you, more established than you, and listen to what they say. You know, like Ron, I mentioned him with the pizza company. I listen to everything he says, right?
Sure.
He's been through everything that I'm going through right now. You know, a lot like your dad. You're going through a lot of the stuff that he went through. For you not to listen to him and take his advice, you'd be foolish.
Right.
You know what I mean? If someone gives you a key that works for a lock, you're not going to sit there and try to pick the lock because you think it's a better way.
Right.
Use the fucking key and move on.
Yeah.
So and that's I've kind of used those keys to success to kind of implement in my agenda and my goals what I want to do. And just rolling with that. And people meet you and they know if you have what it takes to, you know, build their house. You know, to do their walls, to, you know what I mean? To build their retaining walls. They know that. They know by meeting you, by your past. And so, yeah, I just kind of relied on my body of work, my personality, and my drive, you know?
Was there someone that you had as a mentor?
I would reference Ron a little bit, yeah.
Can you say his last name?
Ron Bloom.
Ron Bloom, okay.
So you know him from town.
Sure.
Yep, he owns a realty company. He owns a few other companies around town. But him and I really connected. He's kind of no-nonsense, right to the point. And
how'd you get to know him?
Sitting next to him at the High and Low Bar.
Selling pizzas.
Well, he actually owned the bar at the time, and that's how it got going.
Yeah.
I was sitting in there, and it was a funny story. I had just started my concrete company, and I was in there debating someone on a saw blade. And the guy's like, no, tell me else. I'm like, you're delusional. I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 years now. I use this blade every day. And Ron actually elbowed me and said, hey, he said, I got $500 saying you're right if you want to prove him wrong. You know, because I told him, I'll go out and I'll make this cut, and I'll show you the blade don't last. And I was like, and I knew him, he knew me, but I was like, wow. Shows that he believes in what I'm saying. That gave me a lot of confidence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, him and I have always been close.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then the concrete company, you already had that previously. How'd you decide to get into concrete?
So I worked for a local concrete company, Wall Check Concrete. I worked for them for 10 years.
Sure.
Ty was my mom's best friend growing up. And after the accident, he's like, hey, maybe you want to come work for me? I'll watch out for you. I was like, yeah, whatever. You got a job for me, I'll come do it. And I like the allure of concrete. Concrete guys are badass, right? Like, they're the tough guys. They're the tan guys. They always have money. They always have a truck. Like, when I was 18 years old, perfect. That fit my demographic. You know what I mean?
And you still got the trucks.
Yes. And I'm still a redneck all summer, sunburnt as can be. But that was something to where I could go out and I could outwork everyone on the job and prove myself today.
Sure.
I could show up before you tomorrow and I could do it again. You know, and all this while, I'm picking up stuff from Ty, business sense, bidding jobs, communicating with customers, failures, right? These are all things you got to pick up on. And learning from, like, your boss's failures, because you're going to have them too, right? To think that you're not going to fail when you're on your own business, you'd be delusional. So learn from their failures, kind of watch, like, okay, that doesn't work. I'm getting paid by the hour right now, so I'll come back on Saturday and redo this. So I'm going to do it his way today. I'm going to learn that that's the wrong way, and then I'm going to kind of, you know, come back and fix it when it needs to be done or stuff like that. And I always said, hey, I'm getting paid hourly. I'll be here as much as you want.
Sure.
So, and yeah, I learned a lot. And then I decided to go out on my own, and I was really scared to tell him, you know, and I called him at my house. I'm like, hey, text him, like, can we talk? You know, and I've got, now that I've been on business, I've had a few guys text me, hey, can we talk? I know that means I'm going out on my own.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I text him, hey, can we talk? He came over and I'm like, you know, I'm going to try this on my own. And he's like, well, are you ready? I'm like, are you ever ready? Are you ever ready to start your own business? Are you ever ready to take a chance and possibly fail? Fuck, I was born ready for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was born ready to take a chance.
That is always the one thing. It's tough for people that, you know, you, if you've never done it, you got to step out and say, okay, it's either sink or swim here.
For real.
There's no safety nets.
For real. I was starting it. My wife wasn't my girlfriend at the time. I owned a house over on campus. And I was like, I got to try this. At the time, I had $300 in my savings.
How'd you start a company with $300?
Get a job. Get a job, figure it out. So I got my first job.
Oh, you mean like get a concrete job?
No, like get your first job on your own, right? So I got my bids. I got some bids. I got my first job. I went and did it. I took every dime.
Yep.
Every dime, and I put it right back into the business. Because that $300 I had to use to buy forms and miss, like, nails and screws, shit like that, that, you know, when you're working for someone you don't have. So rather than use the power equipment, I'm out there striking it off by hand, wheelbarrows, stuff like that. And then, you know, within 3 months, I bought my first dump truck because everything went back in. Everything went back in because I learned a long time ago, and if you want to be successful in business for the first 10 years, 90%'s got to go back in. You got to miss baseball games. You got to miss birthdays. Yeah. You got to miss family things. Because if you want to say fuck you in 10 years, you have to do it now.
Yeah.
Hey, can you do this job? Fuck you. I don't do that. You know what I mean? You have that ability.
Sure.
Hey, I need you to work this day. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Right? You don't do that a lot, but now I'm getting into the point where, and you know, like where I'm sure you and your dad are, your businesses are, where you, if you do that business and you run it long enough, you have time for the things you want to do. You can take that cruise on the days you want to take it. You're not hostage to a bid or a change order or a closing, if you will.
Sure. Okay? Yep.
But if you don't sacrifice those first 10 years and you get, you know, your bank account starts to grow, your equipment starts to grow, and you're like, well, I'm going to go out and do this.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't. And it's really hard. It's really hard when you don't have a partner, a CPA saying, no, do this, do this, do this. It's really hard to kind of cap what you do. Slow growth. You know what I mean? Slow growth, powerful growth, not taking out huge loans right away, paying cash for that first dump truck. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really lucky because people in the community believed in me. So I was able to buy a Bobcat, basically like $500 down, pay me $400 a week, Ty. I know you're a good guy. This old man vouched for you. You're good. Really?
Perfect.
Yeah. Take a Bobcat off the lot. Go pick one for $500 today. Holy shit.
That small town right there.
That small town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, was I paying more monthly for that Bobcat? Yeah, but I was like, all right, I'm going to go out and grind and knock it out. And then, you know, I got it half paid off. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go take a bank loan out now. And just slow growth, not trying to get too big for your britches, as the old boys say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being humble. And it's hard sometimes. I mean, I'll be honest. You land a couple big jobs and it's hard to be humble, especially, you know, I grew up so poor, I couldn't fucking pay attention. You know what I mean? We were living in a trailer eating potato soup.
Sure.
So it wasn't like I came from some background where I knew how to manage money,
yeah,
where I knew how to run a business. There was none of that. You know what I mean? I was cold start. I learned the trades. I did that, but I didn't know shit about running a business. I knew how to, like, profit and loss, and that was about it.
Yeah.
you know, so there's going to be some learning curves. You know
what
I mean?
You learn as you go.
Yeah, you got to. And
you know, that's the one thing. It's like everything was a blank slate for you. You didn't have to follow anyone's rules. You just kind of did it as you saw fit for yourself.
For real.
Yeah, that's the awesome part. I find it so crazy that, I mean, you just like $300 in your pocket, and everyone always seems like they have a story like that that became successful. They go, I had this a very low amount of money, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I just kept grinding. I kept grinding, like you said. And, you know, the one thing that you just struck me was you're like, hey, in 10 years, I'm going to be able to say, fuck you, you know, do whatever. And it's just a season in your life, as Dave Ramsey always says, just a season. And then all of a sudden, 10 years plus, it's really a good time. Those 10 years may have struggled.
Yeah.
But the 10 years and then some plus, you're going to have yourself a good time.
Yeah, and there's some achievements that come along the way, too. I mean, Christ, you know, everyone says, you know, I always want to be a millionaire. I want to make $1 million in a year. But when that happens, you're so busy you don't notice it and you don't have time to enjoy it.
Right.
Right?
And if you're making $1 million in a year, you're busy.
Yeah, you're busy.
Forget about
it. That's a lot of driveways.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking driveways. You know what I mean? That's pounding a lot of pins.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing for me was, I was always, me and my wife, she was always going to school and grinding. Well, if you're at home doing homework or you're at work, I'm not going to go sit at home on my ass. I'm going to go work too.
Right.
So the fact that she was working full time and a full time student, that basically gave me the mindset as to where I got to go as long as she goes. Doesn't matter what I do or what she's doing. We got to go just as hard. You know what I mean? You got to row the boat. What does PJ Flex say? Row the boat.
Yeah.
We were both rowing hard as fuck.
Good.
You know, and after like 10 years, that boat's flying.
That's awesome.
It's very cool. And so the concrete thing for me was a total learning experience. And, you know, now you get to a point, it's like, do we want to keep growing? Where do we want to be? And I found for me, I like to keep it between like 4 and 6 employees.
Okay.
It's manageable, because I've tried to go out and hire these foremen and it just doesn't work. You know, because if you want to be a foreman, you can go to the bigger outfits, right?
Yeah.
But I consider like myself and maybe like 3 other guys, the big mom and pops in Winona.
Sure.
And those guys, I mean, I talk to Dan, I talk to Matt, we go through all the same stuff, the same challenges. Do you hire, you know, these guys? Do you hire those guys? And, you know, the talent pool in concrete comes with some baggage, believe it or not. Do they have a license? Do you have a felony? I mean, are you in jail?
Yes.
Okay, these are all things that, like, a lot of businesses don't have to deal with when they're hiring, but that's who we have to hire, because a lot of those guys have so much potential. And, you know, I've always been like a team leader. I've always been like the guide. I want to bring these guys in and I want to show them what they're capable of. Has anyone ever believed in them? Has anyone ever handed them the keys to a work truck and said, hey, this is your baby for this summer. You take care of it. Let's go. And you know, you get a good response like that. Yeah. I've got a good young guy now. He wants to be part of everything, right? He wants to be there, the bids, the all that. He wants to tear out all that. And that's great. And now that he's got a wife and kid, or a fiance and a kid, he wants more, he wants it. So it's like, how much do you want?
That text message is coming.
Yeah, how much do you want? Yeah, right. I know that, like we've talked about, that text message is coming. So I've kind of approached it as to where, how can I cut him in?
Sure.
Is it giving him a percentage of my business every year he's with me?
Yep.
I think that's where we're
at.
Tie him into it a little bit. Now it's his.
Sure.
Now in 10 years, when he's, you know, X percentage of owner, and I'm ready to say, hey, fuck you, world. I'm going to go to T-ball games and I'm going to go to my son's college graduation. I'm going to do all these things and not worry about it because I have a trusted guy here.
That's
so
hard to find. Yes.
Hard to find. So one thing I tell my friends that when Blake gets older, he'll be my most trusted guy. He's incredibly smart. Like, kind of blows my mind how smart he is, right?
Yeah.
He goes to Cotter. He's challenged every day. It's A+ math, science, spelling. It's all over the map. So I feel like he'll be a really trusted guy for me if he chooses that.
Right.
But I keep telling him, join the Marines. Don't come work for me. Anybody can go work for their dad.
Right.
Anybody. Go join the Marines and then come work for me. Because now you can teach me more than I can teach you. Because you already know how this goes. You know how the book starts. You know where the last page is. You've been watching me do it for years. Go travel the world and come back and teach me some shit. You know what I mean?
There you go. That's a good idea.
So, yeah, I'm pounding that into his head pretty hard. His grandfather was a veteran in Vietnam, so I'm like, hey, Grandpa did it.
Yeah.
Don't miss me, but don't let it miss you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So hopefully that works, and then you just haven't trusted people around you.
Sure.
So, and that's one
thing.
It's
not easy.
It's not easy, man, because you give them too much trust, and you know how that goes. Really hard.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll touch.
So how long have you had the concrete business for then?
2000 and I want to say 12.
Oh, okay. So over 10 years.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 14-year reunion about, I think it was March 11th.
Okay.
14 years. Really? So yeah, the spring of 2012 was really warm, historically warm, no snow. So 2012, it was record temps the first week and a half of March. And sure. I ended up pouring my first driveway for a guy who owns a bunch of rentals in town. He said, yeah, I heard you were doing it. I want to give you a crack at it.
Yep.
Went over, I gave him a bid. He said, yep, great, do it. And that was my start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're the new guy with zero overhead and only $300, you don't have to make a lot of money. So you can do it a little cheaper. But then as you hire guys and you get the work comp and that's where you're really learning the umbrella, the insurance, all that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So you're able to start cheap, but then obviously your prices have to grow until you get to get a little bigger. But yeah, for those first few, like I said, I was just trying to get some money to get tools, trying to get going.
Wow. Yeah, this is a great story. I love it. If anybody is listening to this right now, you should be inspired right now to, you can go do anything you want with $300 in your pocket or less if that probably.
Or you can sit on your ass blaming other people.
Or you can do that too.
A lot of people want to sit there and they want to blame other people or I can't do it because of this. No, you can do it. Like, who cares if you fail? You can't go back to that job at the factory. You know what I mean? Your wife can't support you for 1 week while you find a new job, or you can't support her. Go start a business. Go apply for a job that you're not qualified for and fake it till you make it. You know, if you got that dog in you, people see that. You know, people can sense that. And I feel like that was one thing about me coming up. I was really honest and I always had that dog in me. Yeah. Like I always wanted to work hard. I always told people like, listen, if it were my house, I'd do it like this. You don't have to do it, but here's how I would do it and I'm going to take care of you.
Sure.
And I think that resonated with people. Some people are looking for the cheapest bid. Yeah. Some people, they don't give a shit. If the guy showing up's got no teeth, smoking meth in his truck, they just want the cheapest fucking bid. Yeah. And for those people, you think it was cheap to hire, you think it was cost a lot to hire a professional? Try hiring a joker. It gets really expensive.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I just provide a good product, honest, and just fighting for everything.
Yeah. Well, now that brings me back because we got off on this because of the pizza thing. So how'd the pizza thing come about and how would you say, hey, yeah, I'll take it on? And is there anything proprietary about it? It's just pizzas that are made locally?
Nope. So it was Ron's idea to come up with the pizzas. So they got to get made in an FDA facility.
Okay.
So there's a place in Siren, Wisconsin, Square One Foods. He basically took his recipe there. They tested it out.
Gotcha.
Got the samples back. Okay, this is good. Change this. Okay, so we did that, threw him in the bar that he owned, get him in other bars. So that was one place where we had to like really fight because we got his bar's name pizza on this and we're trying to sell it to local bars. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that was kind of a struggle, but you know, you fight through it and you go, I would go in and say, listen, I know you got pizzas here. I'll buy every one of them right now.
Yeah.
I'll write you a check for all the pizzas. I'm going to donate them to the local food shelf because I don't eat cardboard with cheese on it. And I'm going to buy you a new pizza oven because that one's about 15 to 20 years old. Looks like it's leaking. And I'm going to give you radio advertising. So I'm going to pay for all your pizzas. I'm going to buy you new pizza ovens. I'm going to pay for radio advertising to let everybody know you have pizza that may not kill you. And we ran with that.
That was how you sold it.
That's how I sold it.
So you get a free pizza oven. They will buy you out of your old stuff, give you the other stuff, and radio ads?
And radio ads.
And so the stuff that's at high and low right now, that's still stuff?
Yep, still stuff.
Because I know I go there every so often, and I always get a high and low pizza when I'm in there. Yeah. So
it's great.
It is thicker than every other, like, you know, say, a Jack's pizza.
Yeah.
It's definitely thicker than that, for
sure. Oh, it's gas. You throw it on the grill, so when we go camping, we'll throw them on the grill. Best way to do it. Yeah, the bacon cheeseburger, it's great on the grill.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Ron asked me to help him with that. And, I mean, yeah, we bought a reefer trailer. You know, you got to get a refrigerated trailer.
Sure.
Drive 3 hours north to pick up your order. You get a couple 50-100 cases of pizza.
Yeah.
Bring them back. He put a freezer in the garage behind the high and lows. Got a walk-in freezer in it.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, so we kept them all in there. And, it started off good. We had them in gas stations around town. And we were almost in Hy-Vee, but we couldn't get the nutritional facts on the back. They didn't get them to us in time for Hy-Vee.
Oh,
and we missed the cut. So getting them in Hy-Vee could have maybe changed everything.
It could have.
Or it could have maybe just been like, hey, can't compete with all these. Because there's a lot of competition in Hy-Vee, right? But
there's got to be a lot of competition in pizza in general.
There is. Yeah. There's different price brackets of competition.
That's true. I mean, you got your Jack's. You got your DiGiorno. Then I know there's Heggie's in there.
And then you got Quick Trip, too, who's like, when they're in your area, Quick Trip dominates every industry.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough market.
From creamer to chocolate milk to chicken strips, you know, Quick Trip dominates.
They have been lately in the last like 5 years.
God, bless their heart. I would die. Work in construction. I've lived off of Quick Trip. Because you can go both routes. You can go healthy. You can get the parfait. You can get the apple. You know what I mean?
You can.
Or you can go hotspot and just say, you know what? Daddy's going to live today. I'm going to get some fried chicken and I'm going to get a sandwich.
That's the new K Cafe since Kmart's gone. For sure.
K Cafe had the best Philly cheesesteak in the world.
Like Kmart?
Yeah, Kmart it did. Yeah, true story.
Yeah. I used to work at Kmart. I used to stock shelves in
I used to work at Kmart too in high school.
Really? Oh, well, that was a little bit further back for me because I was there like 2010, I want to say. I come back and I load trucks.
Okay. And I would have been like 2020.
Oh, what, 2020?
Yeah, or 2000, excuse
me. Okay, I was going to say, holy shit, like you're older than me.
Yeah, a little rollback.
Yeah, concrete wasn't doing so good, so I unloaded
K Cafe, who had a calling.
So I get those, the food would come in too, and it was just this giant brick of macaroni and cheese frozen.
I'm like, let's go.
That can't be healthy.
They had a really good Philly cheesesteak in the K Cafe. Really? Yeah.
Gosh.
I worked there because my senior year in high school, I lived on my own.
Okay.
So when I moved back, I worked for my dad's family business over in Whitehall. And when I moved back from there, I was like, I'm just going to get my own place. I know what working's about. I'm going to get my own place.
Sure.
So I did that. I got my own place. I had an apartment right by the high school, and I'd walk to work every day, walk to school. It was good to go.
Oh, yeah, right there, high school and K Cafe were right next to
Yeah, it was right there. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
So what was like a challenge for you for selling pizzas?
The biggest challenge is walking into a bar at 2:30 on a Tuesday.
When there's
four regulars lined up that have been drinking blackberry brandy for an hour and a half. The bar manager's hung over from the night before and saying, hey, can I sell you pizzas at your cost is going to be $13 compared to the $2 jacks you got?
Yeah.
Well, why would I do that? Well, do you like money and customers? That's why you would do that. If you hate money, just tell me and I'll leave. But people that come in and eat and enjoy the food are going to drink more drinks. They're going to come more often.
Sure.
You know, you buy a Jack's out of desperation. You buy a high and low pizza because you want to get full and you want to eat quality food, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, every time I've ordered a shitty bar pizza with my friends, it's because we were day drinking too hard and we needed to level off. But with a high and low pizza, it's like, hey, let's stop in and grab a pizza before softball or something. Have a beer and grab a decent pizza. It was just that aspect of it. So
okay. Well, then I want to go off to the next venture that I talked about is being an ordained minister.
Yeah.
How'd that come about? I assume, let me just guess. A friend said, hey, I need a minister. You go, hey, I'll go get the license.
Hold my beer. Yeah.
That's exactly what
it was. So we were out, riding Harleys. We were with a big group. It was like flood running. My buddy's fiance was bitching, like, all these churches want us to take these classes to get married and all I'm like, why would you take a class to get married? You know, you're going to learn enough while you're married. You don't need to take a class.
Yeah.
So I was like, why don't I just get ordained and marry you guys? And she's like, well, how does that work? I'm like, let me look into it.
I texted
my buddy. I'm like, dude, I got ordained for like $25. I'm through the state of Minnesota. I got my license. And he's like, cool. So I married them. Bing. Another text. Hey, can you marry us? Bing. So in like a few years, I did like 10, 15 weddings. And everyone's like, you're a good speaker. You seem fun. You know, my thing was, I want the bride to feel important. I want the mom and dad to cry. And I want the groom to feel like it's the best day of his life.
Yeah.
If I can check all those boxes, bam, I nailed it. And I'm going to crack some awesome jokes. I'm going to make fun of someone in the wedding party.
And they're probably going to get free food and drinks.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And I'm going to do a huge burnout on my Harley before I leave the reception.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke it out before I go.
So you've done how many weddings now?
I would say probably 20 over the last 15 years.
Really? I mean, that's cool. That's over one a year-ish.
Ish, yeah. I haven't done many the last few years.
I think you did my cousin's at one point, Joey.
Yeah, I did do Joey's. Yeah. Yep.
He was on the podcast.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah, about five episodes ago.
Okay, yeah. Joey's good shit. I did his. I don't think they're married anymore, but no fault of the ornament.
That was that your fault?
No, I mean, I probably kept them married as long as they were, to be honest with you.
Nicely done. Nicely done. So, do you charge for this? Is it a service you charge for? Or you just say, hey, I'll do it for free.
I do it for free.
Really? Okay.
I'm not trying to charge anything. It's a couple hours out of my day, and I feel like I'm doing something good.
I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't like, and I think that's part of it too. Like, I know when we got married, we had like this minister come in and she charged us like an obscene amount. I'm like, that's not right. Like, it should be the best day of your life. It shouldn't come with a huge bill. I mean, obviously when I got married, it came with a stupid bill, right? We had ice fountains and all that bullshit, ice sculptures. That's what my wife wanted. So I did my part, right? Yeah. I wanted a peaceful reception with good food. good enough, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I don't charge for it. I couldn't charge for it. That's just not my style.
What's the furthest distance you've had to go? Have you had to go somewhere really far?
Rochester.
Oh,
that's so not far.
No.
No, not far.
That's so, is it kind of cool doing it?
It is. It's a different kind of nervous, like, because this is, like, they're going to remember this day forever.
Yes.
I'm probably going to forget that day or parts of that day in the next, like, few months.
Yeah. So
for them, they're going to cling to every moment. There's people videotaping you, people critiquing you, like, and you want it to be perfect for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the, I think, like, the stress comes in. Like, I got to get to know these people and a little bit about them to know where they're at. Otherwise, how can I give them the best experience?
Sure.
How can I make, like, the most, like, emotional jokes, like, really hit for the family? How can I talk about their childhood camping trip where you pissed the bed? You know, I'm going to hit on all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Without offending them. That's the toughest
part. In a caring way. A kind, yes. Caring, like, growth kind of way, right?
Yeah.
I never want to, like, make fun of someone at their wedding, but I want to make light of the moments of their life that we all remember or that their family remembers, right?
Yeah.
You want to mention, like, grandpa who passed away and tell a good story about him or what he used to call them. Just be a human.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Do some human shit.
That's awesome. That's just so, you get so many different ventures. And the next one I want to get into, which is one that has actually been featured on the podcast before, which is Northland Brakes.
Yep.
And sports cards. Because for those who are listening, Marcus Teachout was on here about a year ago, and we broke cards on here. He talked about how it all works. Tyler Weber was on here too.
Yeah.
He didn't really speak much on that. He was more onto the where he came from and how he got here, which is because of you,
yeah,
actually. But how'd you get into sports cards? Because when I was a young kid, loved it, and now I'm starting to love it again because I didn't realize it was really a thing again.
Well, you know, we all are into it as a kid, right?
Yes.
But then most of us hit puberty, and women become that thing we chase. Sure. We're not chasing Michael Jordans and chasing Shaqs. We're chasing Lindsay and you know what I mean?
Chasing cats.
Yeah, correct. So, and you want to buy a car and you want to buy a house.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yep. And you want to travel, okay? These are things that come with that. So I got back into it because my son Blake. So I collected, you know, through the Jordan era and all that.
Oh, those, God, when I see a Jordan card, it brings me back to about third grade.
So. Right.
Yeah, so how did you get into sports cards?
Okay, so my son Blake, who I mentioned, he's really smart. Smart kid, mentally, emotionally mature. The Pokemon thing is a lot of little kids get into Pokemon, right?
Yep.
So, you know, as a dad, like, I'm like, oh, where do you want to go? Let's go get Pokemon, because there's a little bit of a chase in it, and I see that, and believe it or not, I'm a gambler. I take him to these card shops in the area, around the area, and, you know, when we're on vacation, he's a little guy, we'd go to the local stores, buy a shit ton of cards, and rip them open in the hotel, because I didn't drink for 9 years. The first 9 years of Blake's life, I didn't drink. I never wanted him to see me intoxicated. I never wanted to be intoxicated around him or even have beers around him. I wanted him to know that Dad is steady Eddie all the time. And as he got older, I explained to him, hey, Dad's going to have a beer at the campground. Are you okay with that? Do you feel safe? Do you feel okay? Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Dad. Uncle Danny has beers. You know, all Dad's friends have beers. Dad's going to have a beer. I wanted him to feel so safe and secure when I was there. So I didn't drink for the first 8 years or 9 years. So when we'd go places, you know, it was me and him hanging out. Whether we were at my buddy's wedding and everyone was at the reception getting hammered, me and Blake would be opening cards at the reception because that's what he wanted to do. It was fun for him.
Yep.
And for me, you know, boxes of cards were cheap. I was like, fuck it, let's go to the store and spend $100, $150.
Yeah.
I'll go over to that pull tab machine and put $500 into it and not blink an eye.
Sure.
So we might as well grab some cards.
Yeah, might as well. It's cheaper.
Yeah. So we did that and he started to get into it and started to explain to me, like, Dad, this card's worth this much and this card's worth that much. I'm like, cool, cool. Well, then, you know, it started to spark my interest. And it was crazy. This one Christmas, I bought him a Pokemon Advent calendar. And it was Christmas Eve morning. And we were just messing around the house. And he had to open the one on the 24th. And he opened it. And it was this Umbreon VMAX, okay? At the time, it was like a $1,000 Pokemon card out of an Advent calendar. And he's like, he looks it up on his mom's phone. He's like, Dad, it's $1,000. I'm like, bullshit. Look it up. I'm like, wow. Look on eBay. And they're selling for like $1,000. Well, I'm like, well, if you grade it and it tens, it's like $2,000.
Sure.
So I'm like, let's grade it. So we graded it, came back at 10. And that kind of got me. I'm like, okay. So I bought this calendar for like $58. Got a $1,000 card, and now it's worth like $2,000.
That's a little gamble.
That's a little gamble. It
gets your itch.
Okay. And, you know, as a gambler, I know I'm going to have some losses. So then, you know, we got into it a little bit. And then I was actually on spring break, and we were down in the Dells, and I seen Diddy down there. Brian, who works for me now.
Yep.
And there was
Brian's last name?
Corey.
Brian Corey, yeah.
Okay, he's man, the myth, the legend.
Man, the myth, the legend.
So we're down there, and there was a group. He was with a group of Winona, a bunch of people. I'm with a big group, and we're sitting by the pool, and we all kind of like co-mingled, right? We're having drinks, and I see him on his phone. I'm like, get off your phone, man. He's like, no, check this out. I'm watching a card break. I'm like, what's a card break?
Oh.
And he explained to me, well, you buy a spin on the wheel.
Yeah.
They spin it, and you get that team, and then you get all the cards for that team. And it took me a minute to like, okay, so I'm gonna bid for a spin. They're gonna spin a wheel. I'm gonna get a random team, let's say the Titans, and then they're gonna open up all those boxes and I'm gonna get all the Titans cards. I'm like, why wouldn't I just go buy the boxes myself and open them and get all the teams? Well, you can't really buy cards anymore like that. You know, you can come buy them from at our card shop, but like stores just don't have them. After COVID, stores just don't have cards. It's like one of those things. And if they do, they're gone right away.
Yeah.
Right? Because nowhere in the world sells cards cheaper than a Walmart or a Target. Like toilet paper. You're not going to get toilet paper cheaper anywhere in the world than Walmart or a Target.
Yeah.
Okay? That's like everything because they're retail. They're so big. So I started watching it and, you know, like $1,600 later, sitting around the pool drinking, I spent like $1,600 buying into breaks that day.
Wow.
I was like, man, this is awesome. I kept buying it. I'm like, oh, look what I hit. Look what I hit. You know what I mean? Go in the pool for a while, come back, ding, ding, ding. Buy like five more teams. High bid, bing, bing, bing. You know, I was about it. And then I started getting all these cards in the mail. And then Blake was messing around in our room one day and he went underneath our bed and he's like, Dad, there's a shoebox under here. Doc Martin shoebox full of cards.
Doc Martins.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Man, okay.
Yeah, if you've never owned Docs, you're too young. So he's like, Dad, he's like, you got cards that are worth money. And I'm like, bullshit. Well, Dad, you got a Pat Mahomes rated rookie. You got a Lamar Jackson rated rookie. Josh Allen. I'm like, those are all cards that you and me opened at a hotel when we were traveling. I don't know what's in there. He started showing me what they were worth. And I'm like, damn, we better start grading cards.
Yeah.
So we got our grade order ready and we start pulling out cards. I didn't realize how many cards I had. You know, we started pulling cards out of boxes. And, you know, this was right after we built our new house. So when we moved, I kind of had an idea, all these boxes I brought over. So I'm like,
sure.
All right, let's go down and check the shed because I think there's some cards in there. So there's Blake and I for like a month straight sitting at the dining room table. Our dining room table is like 10 feet long. We had piles of cards stacked like 3 foot high all over this thing.
Wow.
You know, our dining room table is from like, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons table. Yeah. It's huge. And so I'm like, my wife wanted the cards cleaned up. She's like, all right, we need our dining room table back. Like, this looks ridiculous. I'm like, all right, Blake, we got to figure out something with our cards. I'm like, let's have a little card show or something or go to a card show. And at the time we had the shop that's the store now.
Yep.
It was full of like Harleys and like side-by-side parts and snowmobile parts and office desks. And we basically used it for a bathroom. The concrete company did.
Okay.
And then like heated storage for my toys. And I'm like, we could turn that into a store. Let's just clear it out and we'll put some tables up and we'll like on the weekends, we'll sell like our shitty little cards. And if anyone else wants to come set up a table, they can sell their cards too. So I got down there and I ripped out the carpet and we got all the motorcycles out and, you know, meanwhile, I'm doing this, I'm listing like Harley parts left and right, like exhaust, windshield, like basically like you can rebuild your stock bike. You know what I mean? Because when you buy a bike, it's like gut it. So we're selling all those parts. I'm like, I'll just put all this money back into the card company or whatever. And after about a week down there cleaning it out, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we're going all in. I told my wife, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, babe, I'm going to spend like 10 grand just starting this card company. She's like, oh yeah, whatever. I don't
care
what you
do.
Right. Well, you know, 100 grand later, the store opened.
Never mind. You know what I mean? 100 grand later.
So it's like, I was like, because you just keep going. I'm like, flooring, windows, doors, advertising, signage, t-shirts, brake mats, stands.
Yep.
Like, what are all the people that are doing it right doing? We need to do that.
Yeah.
The computers, the tablets, you know, all that stuff that goes into it. Okay, now we got to find wholesale. And, you know, I think after about 7 weeks down there, Kirkaby and I, who I co-own Big River Contracting with him. And he's the bread and butter behind that. I just helped him get going and really appreciative for everything he does. We got this done in like 6 or 7 weeks and the store's done. So I'm like, I got to hire people to work here. So I hired a couple of guys from out of town that knew about breaking. Turned out to be complete losers. Like there was and that's one thing in the card business. There are huge losers, right? Like mom's,
I can only imagine.
Mom's basement, sweaty, greasy hair, $40 card priced for $200. And I was like, that's no way to do business. So we started to get the business plan around it, started to build it, started to go. And I'm like, we got to start breaking. So we started to do in-person breaks at first. And I had that big shop up on the hill that with the shelves.
Yep,
and
yep.
We started doing in-person breaks there. And like 30, 40 people were showing up. Like
up by, on Garvin Heights?
Yeah.
Okay.
30, 40 people are showing up every Saturday to get into these breaks.
Like online or in
person? In person. We were doing them in person.
Oh, you're doing it in person?
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So basically people show up and it's just like online. Show up. All right, guys, we're doing the Titans. And people start bidding.
No shit.
And you, Chris, I got, you know, 10, 20, 25, 30. And now it's like a real auction. We're in person. It's cool because we're together. We're drinking beer. The kids are there. It was awesome.
Was it mainly people you knew or was it other people that you had no idea?
It was people I knew and people that I was connecting with, new acquaintances.
Okay.
You know, a good friend of mine, Senator Jeremy Miller.
Yep.
He was on board the whole time. He's like, I'll be there. He's like, I haven't, because we collected cards back in middle school together.
Oh, you and Jeremy?
Yeah, okay. We were real close. You know, his family, I had more sleepovers there in a 3-year period than probably anywhere.
Sure.
Jerry and Sue Miller are saints. So I was like, come on up. Well, then Jerry, former mayor, Jerry Miller's there, and Susie, and, you know, they're big supporters of what I was doing. And then all these other people I didn't know, you know, guys that box and do UFC were showing up because they're into sports. And it was like all these people started to come to my shed every Saturday. And I had people texting me, heard what you're doing on Saturday. Can I come? So before you know it, we're setting up tables everywhere. There's people selling cards. It's like these little card shows.
Yeah.
We got on Whatnot then. And we were on Whatnot. Now I had to hire a couple guys.
Sure.
So the guys that were coming up there were Diddy and another guy, Ryan Lazel from town, big card guy, cool dude. They started coming up there and I trusted these guys. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take your advice here and let's get on these breaks. And I had a lot to learn. So I started in my office at home breaking on a computer. And then when the store opened, we got down there, we started breaking there. And I always said to myself, if I can do this in volume, right? If I can do it in volume, not one break a night or two breaks a night. If I can do it in volume, if I can do 14 breaks a day, we might make money.
Yeah.
But it's going to take wholesale. It's going to take watching the bottom line. So I had that volume mentality in mind.
Yep.
So what I did was started breaking on Whatnot. I'm learning every day and I'm still learning, right? And, you know, after breaking on Whatnot and hitting $3-$4 bids and breaking even, because you're going to break even. Like, we got to establish a fan base. We got to watch our users grow. Watching our users grow, making a little bit more money every week. All right, cool. What's next? How do we grow? Repacks. Okay, what's a repack? A repack is my brand's best cards in a box with our name on it. Now we have the Woodshed, the Northern Light, and the Homegrown.
Yep.
And we have the Red Eye, which is a top tier one. Okay, so that means you got to go to a card show, buy cards, and then you repack them. Okay, so that way you know, hey guys, we're chasing the Woodshed up to a $200 value. The floor is 30% of the ceiling, so that way you know you're not getting hosed. You see these guys, oh, $5,000 ceiling, $300 floor. Go fuck yourself.
It's a huge gap.
It's a huge gap. Okay, we're not doing that. We're going to put math into what we're doing.
Yeah.
30% of your ceiling is your floor, okay? Do comps go up and down? Yeah, comps do. So you always try to keep it above your floor to protect yourself from a low comp, stuff like that. So we introduced the Woodshed, and it was awesome. It was like me and Blake found like this cologne box I had, because at the time, like, we're new. It doesn't have to be perfect. You want to see if it works, if it has legs.
Yeah.
So we took this old cologne box, put some stickers on it, sealed it up, ran a break. It worked.
Yeah.
Did it again. We did it again. And I'm like, all right, let's brand this thing.
Was it the Kenneth Cole repack?
Yeah. So we started rolling with that. And then I realized like more repacks. Well, we got kicked off of Whatnot one day because they said we were adding a game of chance to the wheel.
Okay.
A lot of people got kicked off Whatnot at that time for a lot of bogus reasons. It was like an automated message. But at the time, we were freaking out. And we're like, shit, what are we going to do? Because people aren't grabbing your doorknob, keeping a small business open in Winona. I mean, you look up and down 3rd Street, it's really hard to keep those businesses open if you don't have an online presence. So it was weird because the day we got kicked off of Whatnot for no reason, we didn't know why. We were like, my employees are devastated. Customers are devastated. I'm pissed off. I'm like, fuck you guys, okay? I'm like, this is just a bump in the road. About 3 hours after absorbing all this, I get an email from Loop that we reached out to like 7 months before, and they're like, yeah, are you guys interested in joining Loop? And I was like, Loop. I knew about it a little bit, and we checked it out, and it's L-O-U-P-E. So I hop on and I've watched it a little bit and I'm like, God, these breaks are slow. They're boring. Nobody's running a random wheel auction. They're all just sitting there waiting for people to buy like a team or buy a box. I'm like, this is horrible.
I've jumped into some of those before and it was like five people and then I'm like, what are they doing?
What are we doing here?
Just sitting there.
What are we doing?
Yeah, like, I hop on yours and I'm like, oh, there's a wheel spin and everything.
Wheel spin, we're having fun, we're laughing, we got the music going. Oh, like something you want to be a part of. Something you can escape from the noise at night. And like I always tell the guys, it's a bait shop mentality. When you go in the bait shop, let your hair down. Talk about whatever. It's like being in the bait shop. It's like all the old boys that meet out at bass camp in the bait shop on Saturday morning.
Sure.
Talking about life's problems and talking shit.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And we got on loop and fucking blew the doors off, dude.
Really?
Yeah. They had no idea what was coming.
So what does that mean when you say it blew the doors off? Like, they gave you feedback saying, hey, we got a whole bunch of awesome feedback from just you or money or how does that work?
Both. So at the time, they had no one running random wheel auctions and they had no one running retail breaks. Okay, retail breaks, there's an allure to that because you can't really buy retail product. It's really hard or really overpriced. So I was running retail breaks and we do hobby at nights. With the repacks, and they're like, you know, we think it'll work on our platform. You're going to be the only one doing it. Only one doing it? Perfect. That sounds like a money grab for me. Or not a money grab, but an opportunity at more money. So we were trending, you know, we were trending to do, let's say, X amount of dollars on whatnot. So when we went to Loop, I basically said, I'm going to lock myself in the break room for 2 weeks. And I'm going to build this fucking brand from the ground up with my personality, my mentality, my caring spirits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let, at the time I told Diddy and Lazel, I'm like, I got this. You guys watch the store. I'm going to lock myself in this back room from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock every night.
Wow.
And I'm going to fucking break until we're successful. And I got on there and I started hammering it. And I was hammering it all day. And I'd get done and I'd look at my, basically get a stream recap. I look at my stream recap. Holy shit. Holy shit. And every day my buyers were growing and I was new to Loop and they hadn't seen anything like this. So I was really motivated, like so driven, like couldn't stop me. And I kept running and I kept growing. And I'm like, all right, now I can implement one of my employees. Okay. I'm going to implement a guy. And so we started that. And because when we got kicked off Whatnot, I had Webb out on the West Coast breaking for me at night because he was back of time zone so we could run longer. Because remember, it's volume. Yeah. I had one of my buddies up in the cities running for me at night. You know, I would run, he would run, and then Webb would run. And Connor would run at night when he didn't have his kids. He's a father of four kids. So when he didn't have his kids, he would run hard as hell. You know what I mean? He's a dog too. And then Webb would come on at night, like 10 o'clock our time. Webb could come on because it's 9 o'clock his time and bust it till 1.
Yeah, because he's
young dude.
3 hours behind.
Two hours. Yeah. So, I mean, he could come on and just kill it into the night.
Yeah.
And that's what I really emphasize to my guys. Listen, it might be 1 o'clock in Minnesota.
It's only 11 there.
Right. So let's remember that those people are just winding down, getting home from the bars, you know, getting home from a night out. Or they can't sleep and they're bored. They need some camaraderie, you know.
Sure,
let's be there for them. So, you know, the volume mentality, then we got on Loop and we just volume. Repack, all right, let's introduce a second repack because I can't go to card shows and just buy cards from 60 to 200. I want to buy every card there if I'm going to go there. If I'm going to fly to Philly, fly to Dallas, fly to Burbank, if I'm going to go to Chicago once a month, if I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go all these places, I need to spend every dollar I can every weekend and buy every single card.
Sure.
So we introduced more repacks and it grew. I mean, what we did on Loop in our first calendar year was about three times what we were ever going to do on Whatnot.
Wow.
Right?
That makes sense then.
Bro, I'm telling you, it was one of those things. It was eye-opening. Like, my ideas are going to work.
Sure.
Because, you know, Whatnot has millions of users. Loop has thousands of users. So you're not going to see 90 people in a room on Loop. But what you are going to see is 20 people who want to spend their money.
Yeah.
You know, on Whatnot, we always joked around like, oh, the giveaway goblins. You have 55 people in your room, but they're just there for the fucking giveaway. They're never going to spend a dime. They go in every room giveaway to giveaway. There's no giveaways on Loop. Unless, you know what I mean? So it was like, all right, we got VIP members here. It's like going from the bait shop to the country club.
Okay.
You can have a lot of fun at both places.
Yep.
But there's a little bit different demographic. You know, you're going to get your millionaires at the bait shop.
Right.
But you're going to get more millionaires at the country club.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yes.
And you're gonna still get your you know, your hard asses in both places, your stubborn people, your complainers. Yep. You're gonna have all that.
So Loop was the better option of the two?
For us at the time, yes, it was a way better option.
Okay.
Alex and her team at Loop are fantastic.
Is Loop a really, is it a small app?
Smaller. It's, you know, a lot of smaller investors get into it. It's their own app. They started as a card shop in Miami, I believe.
So it started as a card shop app.
Yep, it was a card shop, and then they started an app and this breaking thing, and it's very organic growth, okay?
Okay.
So it's one thing, like, Whatnot is a monster that your money doesn't matter to them.
Yes.
And a few months ago, Chris Chan, he's the VP of Whatnot. He reached out to me and said, oh, we'd love to bring you on Whatnot, all this. And I was like, 30-minute conversation. All my employees are on the other side of the table while I'm having the Zoom with them. And they're all sitting there listening because we got an automated message that kicked us off. Now his assistant reaches out to me. We see what you're doing. We'd love to bring you on Whatnot. Well, I bet you would. $3 million a year would seem pretty fucking good on your platform, I bet. So I wanted to take his criticism and his knowledge and learn from it because I got an automated message. So we go through this like 30, 40-minute conversation on how he's going to bring me back on or bring me to Whatnot and all that. He said, is there any questions you have for me? I said, yeah, I have one question. Why'd you kick me off of Whatnot? And him and his assistant look like they've seen a ghost, right? So they're typing. He's like, well, I don't see your name ever being kicked off. I said, I got an automated message. Well, I don't see that here. You're the VP and can't see that. Do better. And I told him that. I said, you know what? Just do better. You want to bring us back on? We have the bandwidth now. We have two break rooms at our spot. We have one in the back shed. We have one inside the store.
Yep.
We have the bandwidth. We have the inventory. We have the personnel now where we could run multi-platform.
Sure.
All right, I'll get back to you. I knew he wasn't going to fucking get back to me. You know what I mean?
So he had no idea even that you got kicked
off. No, it didn't even show it on his end. His assistant sent out an invitation for this meeting and all that, and they had no idea.
Wow.
Which was super suspect to me. Like, what kind of business are you running?
They're too big. Too big. What it sounds like. They're too big, and they don't know until all of a sudden something big is happening. Like,
right on.
Hey, you should come on Whatnot. You're like, I've already been on it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And that's where, like, Loop is so genuine. Yeah. And Alex and her team, Doty, the VP owner of it.
Okay.
They got Russell, who works in support. These guys are awesome. You know, Alex, she is, like, from day one, she's had my back. If I want to call Alex...
I
can call her. Whatnot, okay. You get automated messages.
Sure.
You know, I'm in the Dominican Republic, sun poisoning, and I have an issue laying there on my deathbed. I'm texting Alex. Boom, she's on it. She's helping me.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? She's helping me so she can help the customers.
Right, right.
Loop doesn't leave you hanging. Like, oh, I didn't get my order. All right, too bad. Loop makes it right.
Yeah.
They're giving you store credits and pulling it out of my account if something happens.
Sure.
Not only am I going to make it right, but they're going to make it even more right. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just... a really good platform.
That's awesome.
Even if I got taken back onto Whatnot, I would run them both. I would never leave Loop because it's been such a good experience for us. So many great customers. And some customers leave, and you don't know why. Like, we've had customers come in and spend $30,000 in a month. That's a big customer.
That's probably why they left, because they spent everything.
Yeah, the wife's seen the credit card statement. And she's like, I know what you can spend a month. That would be alimony.
Oh, shit.
So... people come and go, and you got to know that it's nothing you do or don't do.
Yeah.
You got to give them the best experience when they're there, the most honest experience. Sales has got to be on point. Shipping has to be on point.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, we got, you probably know it better than I do, but I think we have like, what, 6 breakers or something probably. We got Dak, Aiden, Didi, Weber, Teach, Chris.
6 right there.
Yeah.
Do you do any more?
I don't do it a lot anymore.
I haven't heard you in a while.
No, I really like to do it. I bring a lot of energy. I have a lot of fun. But right now, I don't want to miss a moment with Zach at home.
Sure.
And I'm at that point now where I want to empower the guys that work for me to be the best version of themselves. I don't want them to feel like they have to compete with what I'm doing because different personalities sell.
You're right. I was just going to actually say that. When you go on, you're going to get a different personality from Teach, who's high energy, and Webb, that's high energy. And then you go to, like, Chris May and Diddy, and it's going to be a lot more laid back.
Yeah, and people like that.
Yeah, and each person's got a different personality, just like everyone else that's probably on Loop buying. So, yeah.
So when I'm on there, I try to take the WWE mentality. If WWE were selling cards, how would they talk? here we go. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get your Bruce Buffer. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you touch all those bases. Yes. Showmanship, I love it. You can't see my face, but I want you to feel my vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And having your catchphrases and having the customer, certain things you say to them, you know.
Sure.
We had this one customer, his username was I Have Herbies.
And I remember.
You know, and I'd always be like, Herbies, baby. And he'd be like, Ty, baby. And like that caught on, you know.
Yep.
It was one of those things. And I love it, you know. But I want my breakers to be empowered. I want my customers to know it. And I still run like once a month when we run the nuke wheel, I do it.
Okay.
But I feel like my time, my energy, and my talents are better spent behind that wall, trying to buy the best products I can, trying to buy the best cards I can.
Yeah.
Communicating with our buyers. I mean, we have buyers, Kong, one of my buyers, Kong, who I've met a few months back. He travels the country buying for me. So, you know, he went to Philly, he was in Dallas, he was in Chicago, Green Bay. I mean, he'll go to Green Bay and Philly in the same weekend. He's everywhere, and that's what he does. He's a good buyer, he's an honest guy. So I'll send him, you know, I'll send him the money every week. Hey, I need you to spend $20,000 this week on repacks. He'll go out and he'll execute everything I ask, what I ask. He puts it all on a spreadsheet. What he paid, what the local comp or what newest comps are.
Wow.
And I go through that spreadsheet every Monday and I look at it and I'm like, all right, we did all right. Well, that show was tough. Yeah. I know certain shows are tough. You know, I've been all over the country buying the last year and a half.
Okay.
I know you go to some shows and you can't buy nothing. I was at a show last weekend in the cities. I took 7 hours out of my Saturday, drive up there, and I bought 6 cards that could go in a repack. Kicking the seeds, man.
Yeah.
You go up there with a case full of money, ready to buy, and you come home and I'm like, the best thing I bought today was Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean?
Damn.
It's like, fuck. I spent my whole day up there dealing with like basement dwellers. You know, and when you go to the bigger shows, you get the businessmen, right?
Yep.
There's two kinds of, there's businessmen and then there's men in business. I'd rather buy cards from a businessman than a man in business.
Sure.
Because listen, if you take a loss on these 5 cards, it's not the end of the world because you bring those funds back in to flip it. It's just like real estate. Sometimes you buy a rental property, you're like, this thing is dog shit. I need to get rid of it. I'm going to sell it for $5,000 less just to get out from underneath this thing. Now I have my money or my equity back. Let's put it in a moneymaker. Let's
try something else.
People that live in their mom's basement that sell cards at card shows, that carry the same cards in and out of card shows every weekend are hard to do business with. Last week, for example, this guy had maybe like 150 Vikings cards. I'm like, I'll buy every one of them. I'm like, let's figure out what comps are. I'm going to make you an offer. I'll buy every one of them.
Sure.
Well, card that last sold for $66, he has priced at $150. I'm like, dude, how much dope do you smoke? No one in the world's going to pay. Well, I just bought it in Dallas a couple weeks ago. I think I'm going to hold on to it. Well, the longer you hold on to it, your annual ROI just drops.
Yeah.
You know, if you make 10% on it a day, amortized over a year, you're going to start looking like you're making money. You know what I mean? Your percentages are going to look good. That guy has no fucking clue about business.
Sure.
He buys cards, tries to nickel and dime people, makes them feel good to carry his cards in and out the show.
Yep.
Go ahead. I ain't got time for that.
I imagine with all of these, like you said, you went from just growing out of a garage with you and your son and some people coming around locally to bid on cards in person, which is even funnier, to now you have employees. You're talking thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of cards. Have you had any hardships with this business specifically? Because I imagine, I mean, you're talking about cards and there could be, I don't know, maybe theft or any sort of like shady businesses that go on with cards. Have you had any experiences with that kind of stuff?
I have. So I'm going to touch on a couple things. I'll start a little bit lighter. There's a lot of shadiness in breaking. As I mentioned, like the repacks, you know, $5,000 ceiling, $300 floor.
That's a huge gap.
Like you know, you always see these stories on like Instagram or YouTube, like breakers, like stealing cards, swapping cards. I have 0 cards in my collection.
You got rid of all yours?
I don't. I'm a businessman.
Sure.
I can't love what I do. You know, if I owned a bar, I wouldn't drink beer at my bar. It's really important, you know, like, and for my customers, they're like, Ty doesn't collect cards. He would never take our cards, right? Like, because there's so much of that in breaking, like negativity. I just want to do it the right way.
Sure.
I want to make sure everybody gets their cards. And honestly, I don't really care about the cards. I'm trying to run a business here. The cards are what I use to run that business and the people I have around me, okay? So I try to make sure that we do things the right way. We put math into our repacks. Everybody gets their cards. If you're a big spender, we're going to give you a little bit extra. So that's been really important. I'm a really trustworthy guy. I trust everybody. I wouldn't hire you or bring you into my life or even associate you with you if I didn't trust you, right?
Mm-hmm.
In concrete, not a lot of people are going to steal from you, right? No one's going to go, and if you go home with a pocket full of screws, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Poke yourself in the leg, let them run through your washing machine. You probably didn't do it intentionally. No big deal. That stuff doesn't matter. In the card business, there's a lot of theft. I mean, you're always hearing stories, theft at Dallas Card Show, theft here, theft there. We were hit by it from an employee.
Really?
Yeah. So our inventory throughout last end of summer and fall, our inventory kept getting off. Yep. You know what I mean? So we do our inventory burn at the end of the month. I'm like, God, we're off 4,000. We're off 10,000. Okay, that's alarming. You know, but in retail, there's always this, like, what do they call it? Like a loss.
Sure.
Okay, so 5%. Okay, well, you know, take quarter mil, 5%. Okay, but it just didn't seem right. And we're growing and growing and growing. And I'm like, okay, maybe these guys didn't write down what they put into their breaks. Okay, maybe they were busy and didn't write what came out in personals. All good. We're rolling with it. We're looking back. I'm like, God, we're just every month we're growing off. And Ron, he's like, dude, he's like, are you fucking blind? He's like, that shit is walking out of your store. And I'm like, no, it's not walking out of my store. He's like, either it's walking out of your store or you don't know how to fucking count. And I'm like, well, I can count.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't really think too much of it. Trying to figure out where I was going wrong. Beating the bush. Just, it was killing me. Like, where am I going wrong? Where am I bleeding all this? Where are we hemorrhaging money like this?
Yeah.
So we're going along, and one day Webb's breaking, and I'm on my way. I got my truck full of 11-year-old boys, taking them to the holiday basketball tournament at Winona State. You know, we're rolling down the road, and I'm like, God, why isn't the alarm at the store set? So I pull up the security cameras at the stoplight, and I don't see Webb there. But I do see a former employee that we let go for opening product at cost on the clock. Okay, so he was on camera opening product that he hadn't yet paid for, open it, and then would pay for it on the register at cost.
Gotcha.
So we had to let him go for that, right?
Sure.
No hard feelings, just here's how it is. It's only business. So we had to let him go for that. He would still come in the store time to time to buy a pack or see the guys.
Yep.
I didn't really think anything of it. I would probably go hang out somewhere where I got fired. Just me. But I didn't think anything of it. Whatever. Young kids.
I feel weird, I guess.
Yeah, young kids are different. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's in there talking to the guys. Well, so that night I checked the cameras. I don't see Webb there, but I see this former employee we let go there. So I text Webb. I'm like, where are you at? He's like, oh, I ran to the store to get something to eat before my next shift.
Sure.
He's like, I left so-and-so there to watch the store for me after hours. He said, we're all locked up. I'm like, okay. So I checked the camera, and there he is, filling a box, walking it out to his vehicle. And I'm like, call him right away. And I said, what did you just put in that box? Oh, I bought some supplies. Well, the whole store is digital. I can look on the square. He didn't buy shit.
Yeah.
I said, the box is overflowing with cards. I have a 4K camera. I seen everything. No. I said, listen, I'll be at your house in about 15 minutes to beat your teeth in. I said, if you think I give a shit, you're the most mistaken fool in this town. I said, I'll be there in 15 minutes. No, I didn't take anything, blah, blah, blah. I said, I will be at your house in 15 minutes. Webb gets back to the store. I'm like, Webb, lock the doors. Don't let him leave, right? I'm thinking in my head, I'm taking this dude hostage. He ain't leaving my store unless it's in a bag. I fought too hard to get where I'm at.
Right.
You know, this is me. This is everything. This is like my future. I have other things going on, but right now this is really important to me. So he ends up admitting to Webb. Webb's got my speaker. He's like, I took it. I'll go to my house and bring it back. All right, you better go to your house and bring it back. So he brings it back, and he brings half of it back.
Damn.
I said, Webb, stack everything in the box and take a picture. I go, dude, that box was overflowing with shit when you left. Do you think I'm stupid? You think the video lies? Like, videos don't lie. So he, all right, I'll go get the rest of it. I said, all right, go get the rest of it. As soon as he brought the rest of it back, I called the cops. Boom, he gets arrested. Because it was over like $1,500, just that box.
The box that was overflowing? Or
yeah, the
just
box
the one was, he brought back?
What he brought back. He stole like $1,500 right there.
Wow.
So then, like, I'm like, shit, we're dealing with that. The police report. And then, you know, this was right before Christmas. This was December 28th. So then
just
the next,
after Christmas?
Yeah, the next day in the store, Chris is like, I thought it was weird when I came in the store and the back door wasn't locked. I'm like, the back door wasn't locked? And I started thinking, I'm like, wait, Christmas Eve, I was getting Zach ready for dinner, and the alarm company called and said we had an alarm going off. I thought it was Chris or one of those guys just going down to the store, grabbing something for at home for the family, you know what I mean? Because sure. The employees would go and buy something. It was Christmas Eve, right? Yep. I'm family, I'm giving mode. So I'm like, shit. I look at my video from Christmas Eve, and here this dude is showing up. We had a hidden key outside. Okay, we have a big industrial property. There was one key hidden outside. A couple of the guys knew about it. He must have caught wind of it. Again, I trust everybody who works for me that key's there, because if you forget your key, whatever, you can still lock up at night. If you show up in the morning, forgot your key, you can still unlock, right?
Yep.
So check it out. He rolls up Christmas Eve, uses that key, goes in. He's nervous as hell. He brings his own box, okay?
Yeah.
So this is 4 days prior to the first theft. Brings his own box, fills it up, hobby boxes, retail boxes.
Hobby boxes.
Hobby boxes, loading them up.
So explain to everyone what a hobby box is compared to just regular old, you know.
So retail boxes are what you can go into like your Walmart, CVS, Target and buy.
Yep.
Okay. The ceiling's right here. You know, you can still get your downtowns and your kabooms. But on average, the ceiling's a little bit lower. On hobby boxes, you're getting more autos, more numbered cards, and the ceiling's a little bit higher. These hobby boxes go from between like $300 to $2,000.
Okay.
That's where retail boxes are going to roll between like $25 and $100, okay?
So he's rolling out with those.
Yeah, you're talking about like a $5,000 box he stole Christmas Eve, $5,000 worth of shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. Right. You know, as I'm at home thinking about what am I going to give my guys for Christmas bonuses, you know, what can I do for my brand? He's robbing us blind.
Yeah.
So I'm like, son of a bitch. So now I start looking at every video going back, and our security system goes back 60 days.
Okay. Yep.
Start going back, and every time you see his vehicle pull up, we watch. Well, we got guys in the back sorting brakes. We got a guy braking. He goes up front, looking around at cards, filling his pockets. Goes, because he worked there, he goes around, opens the cabinets, he knows where everything is, just filling up. So I think it was about 26 to 30,000 we had on camera stolen from us from one person. Oh.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he's charged with felonies, you know, burglary, all that shit. But that's where we got a lot of our answers from.
So you obviously learned from that.
Yeah, so we rethought our inventory system.
Okay.
Every card in our store now has a barcode on it. It's accounted for.
Okay.
I mean, we do inventory weekly. We know we have inventory sheets daily that if we see something that's off, we're going back and we're looking.
Yep.
You know, we have cages in the back shed. We have a locking cage over the product. You know what I mean? We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in inventory in our store that, you know, and when the investigator came in, he goes, how do you not know that this is missing? I said, I want you to look at this wall of cards up here, this pack, this wall of packs. You know, behind the register, we have that wall of packs.
Yep.
I said, look at the wall, turn around, turned around. I literally unloaded half the wall, slid the packs forward. I go, point out which ones are missing packs. He's like, is that one missing a pack? I said, so you think one of those is missing a pack? And I set two boxes on the counter. I said, this is what's missing off that wall. Would you notice that? I said, you just looked at it. I told you to look at it, right? So imagine if you're a paid employee not coming in expecting to count the packs every day.
Yeah.
Or to count the blasters in the cabinet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the guy working the store and the breakers, they communicate, but they're not like, hey, did you sell three out of the storefront today?
Sure.
And he's not like, hey, did you break three extra hobbies today? We just think, you know, there was a break in communication.
Yep.
So now we have an inventory sheet that communicates both digitally. We have a guy that does our audits every morning, where we're at, where we need to be, all that.
So it's a learning curve for sure.
It's a learning curve. You know, and I go back to what Ron said. He's like, the shit's walking out your door. And I didn't believe him. I'm like, no, I trust all these guys. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't trust all the guys. You can trust a lot of the guys, but you can't trust all the guys. And so, that was a learning curve. I think me, Teach, Chris, Drew, Troy from Ultra UVS Security, audio
Troy
video.
Kaler.
Yeah, Troy.
Yeah, Troy.
Big shout out to Troy. Between him, the investigator, I mean, we had the 60-inch TV in back. We had all these monitors hooked. And we're running through surveillance video, all of us, double-checking each other. Hey, what did you see? What did you see? And we established, like, I'd probably say 12 hours of theft. Because he'd come in the store and he'd mingle and he'd steal. I mean, there were times he brought his own fucking garbage bag. I'm not even kidding you.
What?
And because so-and-so's in back breaking.
Yep.
And so-and-so's sorting. They think he's just up front looking at cards.
Yeah.
Why would we think that he would be in there robbing us blind of garbage bags?
That's ballsy, because if the store is not that big. You've given me the tour.
Yeah.
I've seen the back room, and even in the back room, you guys have boxes of cards back there. Like, they're just crazy.
It's unfathomable how much is in there.
Yeah, and that's all in just the back. And then you got the card sorters trying to figure out, well, which person gets this one, this one, that one. We got to make sure they get to the right place. Because as you mentioned before with Loop, you know, you got to make sure it gets to the person. Otherwise, they might take some money out of your account.
Yeah, what I've always focused on is next day shipping. Because when I've bought into breaks and it takes 2 weeks to get my cards.
Yeah, that would suck.
It sucks.
Yeah.
If I'm going to come in and I'm going to drop $300-$400 tonight, you know, while I'm sitting on the couch watching Monday Night Football with my kid and he wants to buy some teams, here's the old man's phone. Go nuts. Even my wife will be like, hey, I want to hop in. Do your thing, babe.
Perfect.
Perfect. Like, I want you to experience it too. Like, it's a rush. It's like gambling. Yeah. It's like a pull tab box. And, you know, it's fun to sit on your couch and buy some teams.
Yeah.
And so my whole family's experienced it. So, and another thing, when people come to our store, we don't follow them around. We're not high pressure sales. Hey, welcome in. Anything you're looking for? Okay, well, if you need something, just holler. No. You know, if you want something, let us know. We can maybe.
I can vouch for that personally, because last time I was there, you're like, hey, Chris, come on back. And you guys were all sorting back there and just hanging out and just chilling. Your kid was there, I think,
too. Yeah.
And I just sat down. I was like, oh, what's going on, guys? And Teach was sorting. I think Nib was sorting. Your kid was doing something. I think probably sorting, too.
Yeah.
And I sat down and hung out. So it was almost like a little community area.
Yeah, it is.
So you're not sitting there. Yeah, I get it. You're not watching everyone's every move. No. So, and if you're that trustworthy of a person, it could go right underneath your nose and go out. And
it did.
But that's a learning curve. And now you learned it was an expensive one, but you figured out, hey, here's what we got to do now. And now your inventory system sounds like it's way better.
Yeah, and it's working really good. It is. Okay. You know, and coming into this, this employee was the valedictorian. They were homecoming king, big volunteer with a lot of good places.
Why would you not trust that person?
What would lead you to believe to not trust that person?
Right.
But you know what? People that are that smart think they're smarter than you or I. And that's the gift and the curse, right? Sure. You want to hire smart people, but you don't want them to think they can outsmart you and deviate from you. And I felt like that's where he was.
Yep.
Was it a low point in his life? Yeah, as a 19-year-old, no one's ever going to want to hire this kid. You stole $30,000 from your employee that's on video, plus the 5 months before that while their inventory was going off.
And we're in a small town. And so once the name comes out, people will know this person.
A felony's going to follow you. Felonies right, follow you. Is,
yes.
You know, whether you have a felony for an ounce of weed, which used to be a felony and it's now legal, or you hit someone in a vehicle and you hurt them, a felony is a felony. It follows you. It prevents you from doing certain things.
Sure.
It also doesn't stop you from being a successful business owner. It doesn't stop you from going out and building the home of your dreams. You know, I can vouch to that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I don't want people to think that a felony ruins your life, and maybe it won't ruin his, but he's going to have to find that dog in him. He's going to have to really prove himself to a lot of people. You know, it's back against the wall.
Yep.
Why should we hire you over him? Well, you know, I'm going to try to show you why.
Sure.
So, he fucked up. You know, he made a mistake. I have zero pity for him. I hope they lock him away. I mean, first offense, you know, it's kind of, you know, our court system's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole different podcast.
You know, you don't want to get me started on
probably
that.
Probably a slap on the wrist.
Right. Maybe some probation, something like that, some restitution. Yep. You know what I mean? But where does a guy that can't get a job come up with that kind of money to pay his restitution?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a huge, like, huge punch to the gut.
Yes.
We had to restructure our employee base.
Yep.
Because, you know, the salaried employee, you know, the top paid employees, when something's going wrong, are first to get cut. You never cut your sales team. You cut your highest paid salary employee. And that's how changes are made through corporations and large businesses. You know, that's the low hanging fruit, for lack of a better term. It cost our store manager his job because we had to put ourselves in a safe position to succeed in business. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully, he was able to go back to his previous employer, which is a big Fortune 50 company from Winona, and he was able to get that job back and be successful and all that. And I was super supportive. It was super sad for me to have to do that.
Yeah.
But you got to protect the brand. I still love the guy. He's awesome. He still works for us part-time after work every day. I loved seeing him walk in every day. But it was unfortunate that that cost our company a really good employee.
Yeah.
Right? Because that profit and loss sheet every month determines what you got to do next month. The promotions you got to do, the layoffs, the firings, a lot of that is part of that profit and loss.
Sure.
So that was really hard for me as like a caring person who wants to provide and help people grow. To have to do that, that was hard. Like, that was super hard for me.
Yeah, but if you don't, possibly the whole company fails. So then more people
then.
Well, so are you guys bouncing back then, I assume?
Bouncing back good. The inventory system's good. A lot of ups and downs and breaking. It's not about one show or one weekend. It's about, yeah, you know, this the monthly.
Sure.
The monthly. Can we hit our goals this month? You know, you got to keep a lot of people happy. You got to keep a lot of people motivated in that breaking chair, which can be hard. But what you're doing is fun. I want them to be engaged and caring. I want them to find their catchphrases and their favorite customers that they can use those customers to help find new customers and just keep growing every day. That's what's really hard.
They are their own personalities.
They really are. They are. And, Loop does this organic growth thing. So tomorrow, if you don't know what Loop is or you've been on Loop, tomorrow it goes live for everybody, and it's a marketplace. So tomorrow,
tomorrow meaning, are you talking about? Okay,
so this is going to be
Coming out not this coming Monday, the following one.
Excuse me, Wednesday the 26th.
Okay, so this is already out.
It's already out.
It's already out.
So get on Loop right now. Download Loop the app through the Apple Store or the Google Play Store.
Yep.
And they have a marketplace. You want to see what Northland's about, some of the cards they got, you can go on there and there's going to be a marketplace now.
You could buy?
Yeah. So classified ads? Outside of the breaks, it's like an eBay, if you will, right?
Okay.
So now, like, as you know, we have a ton of downtowns, ton of Kabooms, Mangas, Case Hits. Unparalleled. I mean, we have more than anybody.
I kind of want to come in and trade up on some of my cards to you.
Yeah, yeah. So we have all that stuff on there now. So it debuted for the other shops on Loop. So we even had other shops reaching out to us like, hey, can we buy these from you? Can we buy these off the marketplace? What's your best offer? All that stuff. And that's awesome. Sure. So I think that we're bringing the big dog to the fight for this marketplace. And Loop said to us, you know, we're relying on you guys with the volume you do and the amount of single cards you buy, the high-end ones. We need you guys to be the driving force behind this thing. And hold my beer. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we had Asher in the store working on that all day, getting cards uploaded. We put some on yesterday. And
do you have like a backdrop now and all that? Like when you take your photo of them?
So we use the black wall because a lot of the stuff is shiny. So we use the black wall with our Northland Breaks stand.
Cool.
We're going to see how that goes. That debuts tomorrow. I'm hoping to get good feedback on that. Hopefully we sell everything.
Now, there's one card I want to ask if you still have this one in the store. Do you still have the Coolio card?
We do. The Coolio, it's a 101. And it was what's cool about that Coolio card, it was supposed to be autographed. Yeah. It's got the spot for the autograph, but they must not have been able to get him to autograph.
If it's autographed, it's worth a good penny.
Right. And it's graded, I think. I think it's a graded through Beckett.
I have no idea. Yeah. I just saw it in there one day when I was with Webb. I'm like, what the hell is this Coolio card?
Right.
Doing
and we always joke around like, God, they must not be able to find him that week to auto this thing. But
and he's dead now.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's Coolio.
It's Coolio, bro.
So I might stop in and purchase that one at the right price. I don't know. I was always a Coolio fan. That was my first tape I had.
All right.
When I was 7 years old, I had Coolio Gangster's Paradise album on cassette.
Nice.
So I just might have to come in and get that. But I saw if it's autographed, it was like $300 or $400.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to, I don't know what it is, unautographed.
Maybe like $80 or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll come in and take a look at maybe.
What's cool is, like, and I was telling my wife this because she's a little bit younger than I am, you know, maybe even younger than you. And I was like, man, we used to go buy because you could trade in cassettes and CDs, right? So we would like make the trade like three cassettes for a new one. You'd go home, throw that bad boy in and do the high speed dubbing where you tape it for your buddy. You remember that? Like the boom boxes that had like, you could put a cassette on this side and you could put one on this side, the blank one.
Yeah, yeah.
It would do the high speed dubbing. It sounded like the Chipmunks, like pull it out, give it to your boy. Like, here you go. Make the mixtape for your girl back in the day.
Well, okay, so I never did that, but when I had a CD player that had the tape deck on it, and I could record CD to tape, but not vice versa.
Yep.
And then I would do that for the girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when it was like 1999, 2000, we were all getting CD players, so it was just the gesture at that point because not many people had Walkmans anymore.
You're right, right. I remember in high school, I was a Discman guy, man. I always had my Discman with me in high school. I always had the Discman. If I had to bust it out, I wasn't afraid to bust it out.
Anti-skip?
Oh, yeah, anti-skip, eating batteries. Better. Dude, your backpack was so heavy from carrying double A's. Like, if you had that anti-skip, dude, oh, man.
Ate it up.
Yeah, it ate it up, dude.
I forgot this, right? They had batteries on
They had batteries.
It wasn't plug in, and your battery's good for 18 hours.
Oh,
it
was, think if they had a Discman now, like, just for the nostalgia of that you could, like, plug in, like, with a C-port and charge it.
It'd be sick.
Dude, I'd be out there rocking the Discman.
With your JNCO jeans on.
Oh, well, cut-off jeans.
Cut-off jeans.
Yeah, with not tall JNCOs. Socks. Gosh. Oh, yeah.
Well, Ty, as we're starting to wind down here, I got one question because I feel like your low is kind of, we kind of talked about some lows in the business world, but what is a high for you just in general of all the businesses that you've done and you still have? What is some of the, what's a high that kind of stands out? Or maybe it's a couple multiple highs that just like, man, that was really, that was a rewarding time, or that just,
yeah,
someone learned something from me and that just, wow, that was great.
So the high point in Sticks Concrete for me, like achievement-wise, is when the mason jar burned down. Okay, that bar on 3rd Street, that burned down. Remember, they were going to tear it down.
Yes.
The city reached out to me and they said, listen, you're the last ditch effort here. Either we're tearing it down or you're going to help this owner rehab this thing. Well, I mean, the brick walls were caving in a 4-story building. It was a hazard. It was, you know, you couldn't get near the thing.
Yep.
So we came in, I looked at it, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. We had to dig down like 6 feet below like the original footing. So the Chachi's wall was like caving in as we were working. New footings, erect steel inside of it. I mean, brace up. All the brick walls were braced up. We had, you know, bracing up 3 stories on this thing. And we rebuilt it. And now it's like the day shelter for homeless adults.
Yep,
and
it looks really nice there.
Yeah, and that for me, because that was like a 150-year-old building in Winona.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in and like when no one else wanted to do it, I didn't really want to do it. I had some hesitations, but I'm like, you know what? This will either make or break me. And it, whatever, if it breaks me, I'll rebuild myself. And I came in and I did it. I hired my uncle and my 2 cousins were welders. They came down, you know, they took their time off. They came down, lived with me, did all the welding on the steel beams. They're union welders. We hired a lot of good people and it turned out really good. And, you know, all those nails that we were picking up from that burned building, I buckets of them, you know, old nails from the 1800s.
Yeah.
I saved them. When I built my house, I put the nails from that building in all the doorways.
Oh, cool.
So once we got it all built, I went back around and I put all those old nails in there. Just piece of me and what I did to help build that house now.
And a piece of Winona.
Right. A piece
That's
of
cool.
No one else gives two shits about that. And the next guy doesn't give a shit about that. But I do.
Yep.
Right? It gives me that motivation or that little smile as I walk through the house.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, for Six Concrete, it was that. For Loop, I think it was probably bringing the group of guys together that I brought together, right? Brought Wevins from Spokane Valley. Diddy got his first real job with me. Just bringing this, like, group of guys together. Me, I have this concrete mentality, right? You bring that mentality to cards, you're going to eat your competition alive.
Yeah.
You know, we don't go home when we're tired. We don't go home when we're hungry. We don't go home when we're sunburned. We go home when we're done. Bring that to cards. People in cards don't have that mentality.
Probably not.
And the fact that I kind of rubbed off maybe or sprinkled a little of that mentality on those guys, it makes me really proud there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Ty, I want to thank you for coming on in, taking the time out of your day and spending some time with the Brews and Crews podcast. You've actually had me on Loop last March with, I think it was Teach. I got to just talk a little bit while he was breaking.
Yeah.
So that was one of my first, like, getting a little bit. And now some of the guys, when I walk in, or not walk in, when I log in, they're like, oh, Bruce, what's up? We watch you. And now they're probably going to watch this podcast for sure since they know who you are too. But
very cool.
I want to thank you for coming on in. And everyone, if you're watching, as the chef says, subscribe, like, share, and 5-star this podcast. It does help people find this podcast easier when you do those things. But again, Ty, thank you for coming on in. And I want to give you one big cheers before we go. Cheers.